Hello and welcome again to the Issues of Life. I'm your host, Pastor Kelvin Muhammad, and I'm so glad that you are with us today. I bless you today, and I declare God's blessing and favor upon your life and upon your family. We want to welcome you to this special program, and we want to also encourage you to give us a call. If you have a need or you have a prayer request, call us at 636-1307. You can call during the course of this program, or you can call us after the program. We are located in Coover Apostolic City Church, that is. We are upstairs, Royal Castle, Southern Main Road, Coover. And we have two meetings on a Sunday morning. Our first meeting is at 8 a.m. and our second is at 10:30. All are welcome. We encourage you to come and be part of what God is doing. I'm looking in the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17 tells us, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me," or of me. God declares very clearly that the reason and the only reason that the enemy's weapons shall not prosper is because your righteousness is from him. This is not self-righteousness. This is a righteousness that is born out of him. It is a righteousness that's based on sacrifice and not one that's based on performance. To explain it, I will need to draw the illustration of Cain and Abel. And Cain, as you know, offered the fruit of the ground, the efforts of his own ground, of his toils. He worked the land, as you know. He was a farmer. And he sincerely, very sincerely, he brought the fruits of his own sweat and the fruit of his own effort. Cain, on the other hand, killed an animal and offered that animal as a sacrifice for his sins. And the Bible tells us that God accepted Abel and rejected Cain. And sometimes we wonder, is God unfair? Cain did work very hard. He was very sincere. But I tell you, my friends, it takes more than sincerity. It takes accuracy. Because Cain offered the efforts of his labor. It was performance religion. It was righteousness, as it were, based on performance or based on effort, while Abel, on the other hand, trusted in the sacrifice of an animal. Abel's faith was based in the sacrifice of this animal. In other words, he believed that the substitutionary work of this animal was enough to make him righteous. And indeed, that is what God expects of us, that we accept the sacrifice of Calvary to make us righteous, so that the righteousness that we receive is from him. It is not based on our performance. It is not based on our effort. It is not based on our doing. It is not even based on our prayers. It is based on his effort. Righteousness is something we receive. To explain it further, you know, someone may be a sinner all their life, and that person may be living the life of a prostitute or living the life of a drug pusher. But if that person comes into church and that person receives Jesus Christ, in that moment of receiving Christ, that person becomes righteous. And guess what? They are just as righteous as you, because their righteousness is from him. It is not based on performance. It is true that God still needs to work on their character and work on their personality, but they are made righteous because of his sacrifice. And faith in the finished work of Jesus makes you righteous. And as a consequence of being righteous, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And if I were to ask you today, the Bible tells us no weapon formed against you shall prosper. If I were to do a sentence and ask believers what you think the weapon of the enemy is, I may perhaps get a 100 different answers. And the Bible tells us exactly what the weapon of the enemy is. Colossians 2 verse 14 tells us, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements or ordinances that was against us, it tells us he has taken it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. It further goes on to say, let no one judge you in food or in drink, regarding festivals or new moon or Sabbaths. So that the weapon of the enemy, the weapon that Jesus took away, was an antiquated law. Jesus took from the enemy the handwriting of ordinances, the condemnation, the guilt. I declare, even my friends, the generational curses that have been against you, he took it
away. He nailed it to his cross. He disarmed principalities. And if the devil has been disarmed, my friends, therefore he cannot bring a weapon against you. It is important to understand this and to accept this. You see, as a result of this now, the just lives by faith. We receive salvation by faith, but we continue. Those who have been justified live by faith. Faith in the finished work of Jesus. Faith that we have received the righteousness that is of faith. The righteousness that comes from him. Jesus himself tells us that except your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and of the Pharisees, you cannot see the kingdom. And the scribes and Pharisees were seemingly very holy, seemingly very righteous. They looked right, they dressed right, they spoke right. They would have prayers sewn into their garments, as it were, but yet their hearts were corrupt. Jesus described them as whited sepulchres. And Jeremiah 31 tells us that now the laws of God must be written in our hearts. It must be written not on stone anymore, but now in our hearts. It must be inscribed in our hearts and upon our minds so that we may know the will of the Lord and we may do the will of the Lord. You see, what we have, this New Testament faith is based on an internal dimension rather than an external working. And you see, religion always has to condemn you of sin. Religious people need people that are a little worse than them to make them feel good about themselves. I say again, religious people always need people who are a little worse than them to make them feel good about themselves. This is a story of the woman caught in the act of adultery. Those guys had to find that woman to accuse her, to make them feel a little righteous about themselves. I declare to you, my friends, you know, the Bible tells us that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I want to declare, my friends, that the reason many times the things are not added unto us is because we are seeking the things rather than the righteousness. Now, it is sin consciousness that causes you not to believe that you are the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is that sin consciousness. This story is, that point rather, is very well illustrated in Matthew 9. In verse 2, the Bible says, then behold, they brought him, which is a paralytic man, lying in a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, be of good cheer, your sins be forgiven you. And at once the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemes. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins be forgiven you, or arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on the earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed and walk, and go to your house. And he arose. This is a story of the religious mind that's always willing to point out the sin of those who are in need. Jesus says to the man, your sins be forgiven you, and he heals him. The religious multitude is ready to point out our sins, point out our failures, point out our mistakes. You see, the weapon of the enemy is a sin consciousness. The weapon of the enemy are religious laws, an antiquated system. This is the weapon of the enemy. The weapon of the enemy is bigger than some major principality sitting on some building somewhere. You see, we disarm the principalities, and usually it is religious principalities. We disarm the principalities by taking the antiquated law out of the way. Jesus says to the man, your sins be forgiven you. But let me say this to you, my friends. It is just the same for Jesus to say, take up your bed and walk, or all your sins be forgiven you. You see, now there are those who say, well, wait a minute, Jesus had to forgive him of his sins, otherwise he would never be healed. I don't know about that, because I tell you the truth, God can heal somebody without necessarily forgiving them of their sins. You see, the reason God heals is not necessarily because you are righteous. God heals because of his mercy. God heals because of his goodness. God heals because of his love. He heals us based on his love and based on his mercy. This is just, the story is all of us know the point of somebody who may be in church for 30 years or more, and they're trying to get healed, and they are giving to get healed, and they're fasting to get healed, and they're praying to get healed, and they're dancing to get healed, and can't get healed. But here comes Sister Martha, and she has been out in the world prostituting herself. She's been out in the world selling drugs, and she comes into the church one Sunday morning. Nobody knows her, and in a moment she just hears God loves her. She receives the message, and she is healed. Now, why is that? Why is it that that somebody can get healed in a moment. And somebody can be in the church for 30 years and cannot get healed. And I'm not casting aspersions. I'm not trying to put you down. But could it be that for 30 years, that well-meaning believer may have heard all kinds of messages why they should not be healed? They have heard that it's a generational curse, that is because they are paying for their own sins. Perhaps it is not God's will to heal them. Perhaps God is using the sickness to process their character, etc., etc. And even when they come to the prayer line, they're thinking, you know, I know it's God's will to heal me, but what if it is His will that I be sick for the moment? And it is all those reasons, that sin consciousness, that causes that person to not believe that they could be healed. And so Jesus wants to deliver us from the sin consciousness. Sister Martha perhaps cannot tell the difference between God and the devil. All she knows is that God loves her. She receives the message. She receives the righteousness that is of faith. She receives the righteousness of Christ. And in that moment, she's healed and she is delivered. And can I tell you, my friends, that is what God wants. He simply wants us to believe the message and receive the righteousness that is of Him. And in that moment, you can be healed. Because God heals us not on the basis of our performance, but on the basis of His mercy. Let me say to you, my friends, every blessing you received this morning was because of His mercy. Every blessing you will receive the next moment from now will be because of His mercy. We did not earn it. We just received it. Are you following me? We receive it by faith. Again, the story is told in the book of James, James 5, where the Bible says, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. It tells us, in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed any sins, he will be forgiven. Now, why the issue of sin is being mentioned again? I'll tell you why. The issue of sin is being mentioned because a sin consciousness will prevent you from receiving the blessing of God. That's why the Bible tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, if you're not pursuing His righteousness, if you don't understand that you are righteous, then you'll have a problem receiving all these things. I declare to you, my friends, that the righteous will never be forsaken. God declares very clearly. He says, David tells us rather, he says, I've been young, I've been old, I've been in this business a long time, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. And I know we interpret that to mean that my seed would not beg bread. But can I say to you that you are the seed of God, and that the seed of righteousness has been planted in your spirit. And you being the seed of righteousness, you will not beg bread. You will not suffer. Your seed would not suffer. You will never be forsaken in the earth. For God says in Psalm 138 verse 8, He says, the Lord will not forsake the work of His hands. The Lord will perfect that which concerns you, the scripture says. He says He will perfect, He will finish that which concerns you, and He will not forsake the work of His hands. You are the work of His hands, and no weapon formed against you shall prosper, because your righteousness does not come from you. Your righteousness comes from God. It is His righteousness that He asks us to receive today. And I appeal to you today to understand, even like Cain and Abel, your faith must not be based on your performance. Some of us have got more faith in our prayers than we do in God. We've got more faith in our giving than we do in God. We've got more faith in the preacher than we do in God. We've got more faith in our dancing than we do in God. We've got to believe that it is Him and Him alone. It's all about Jesus. And as a result of receiving His righteousness, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. No sickness shall prosper. No disease shall prosper. And God says, as you seek this righteousness, I'm going to add to you. I'm going to add blessing to you. I'm going to add favor to you. I'm going to add strength to you. I'm going to add the blessing of an everlasting portion to you. I'm going to add and add and add to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I bless you today. I encourage you today. I strengthen you today. I release to you faith that you may believe. I'm Pastor Kelvin Muhammad, and I'm so glad that you have tuned in today. Remember, we have two meetings tomorrow morning. One is at 8 a.m. Our second is at 10:30 in the a.m. You can call us at 636-1307. We are located in Coover, upstairs, Royal Castle. God bless you. God strengthen you. May He bless you in your going in and in your coming out. Call us at 636-1307. Apostolic City Church is located in Coover. We are upstairs, Royal Castle. Two meetings, one at 8 a.m. and one at 10:30. God bless you. Be victorious in Jesus' name.